the Extra Magic Hour, a Disney Parks podcast. Here are your hosts, Anne Ravanos and Dimitri Ravanos.
Welcome to another edition of the Extra Magic Hour. I am Dimitri.
And I'm Kat.
And Anne will be with us in just a bit. This is another week where we had to Frankenstein together an episode because I'm about to head down to Disney. In the meantime, Kat, let's go ahead and jump into the news.
Okay, the first news story is something that I'm really excited about. I don't know if you heard this, Dimitri, but BB-8 is coming to become a meet and greet at Hollywood Studios in Star Wars Launch Bay this spring.
I did see that. Now, is this going to be a ongoing thing, or is this just for the Season of the Force?
From what I understand, it is going to be an ongoing thing. And he's going to meet just like Kylo Ren and Chewbacca, and like all three characters are going to be a meet and greet in Star Wars Launch Bay.
Very cool. There's definitely room to do it. I've always felt like they do not use that space very effectively, especially now that Disney Infinity has been phased out. That really took up the good back half, really, of the launch bay. I think this is an awesome idea. When Anne and I were down there for the Episode 7 premiere party, they had a local robot club that had built a BB-8.
That's cool.
So I haven't seen Disney's animatronic, but I have seen an animatronic one in use, and it's a thrill to see it live and in person.
I was going to say, like, I think this is going to be really really interesting to see, because is it going to kind of be like a Chewbacca meet and greet where, like, you know, Chewbacca talks to you,
right?
Or is it going to be like just like a Cars meet and greet where the cars were just, you know, blinking and just there?
No, I would imagine that that he is going to roll around you a little bit, and I'm sure he'll beep and squeak at you. I would be shocked if they did not work in his lighter thumbs up.
Oh my gosh, that would be awesome.
I mean, because that's sort of the signature, oh, he's so adorable moment of that movie.
Yes.
I guess Disney might shy away from using fire, but it'd be a real disappointment if they don't have that feature, at least for pictures.
Yes, I agree.
Well, that's cool. I'm glad to see more is being done with the Launch Bay, and I'm glad that they're updating Launch Bay, and at least until Star Wars Land fully comes online.
Right, and there's no exact date for when he's going to start, but I'm hoping that it's before the end of March, because that's my next trip.
I have heard early April.
Oh, darn it.
I know. The other thing, you know what kind of surprises me, that they are doing BB-8, and they are not right now, especially that time of year, that they're not going to do a K2SO to take advantage of Rogue One coming out on DVD.
Oh, that makes sense.
But, you know, I mean, yeah. I guess that probably tells you that this is something they're hoping has some staying power.
Yeah, true.
All right, what else is in the news?
The next piece of news is that there are going to be huge expansions coming to the Coronado Springs Resort and Caribbean Beach Resort. This is something that has been talked about on my my travel agent's website, so like this is just something huge that's coming. So at Disney's Coronado Springs Resort, they are going to have a new 15-story tower with 500 rooms with suites and concierge level services. I'm kind of thinking it's similar to Bay Lake Tower, although different because it's in Coronado Springs.
Yeah.
And then also at Caribbean Beach Resort, they're going to have a new dining area and shopping area. It will kind of take place or kind of replace the center town. And apparently where it's going to be is even more centrally located to the resort. Have you ever stayed at Caribbean Beach?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's an awful layout.
Yes, I agree. And when Eric and I stayed there, we were in Trinidad North, which is right next to the center town, and it was still like an 8-minute walk.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that one needs to be or I guess a new center town definitely needs to be done there. This is pretty obvious what this is, right? This is DVC coming to the mid-level resorts now.
Yes, yeah.
Which, it's going to be interesting to see what happens after they've gotten DVC at all the intermediate resorts. Do we then start to see like DVC at the All-Stars in some way?
There's no way. Like, I just don't see it happening. Like, no one is gonna spend that much money just to stay at a value resort.
You know, the other thing too that is like I can't believe there is call for this. I cannot believe, and maybe I'm naive, but I can't believe that Disney has enough demand that they are building more DVC exclusive properties. I can't believe they're still selling them at that rate.
I know. Well, and I was just thinking, like, I don't know how DVC works at all. I know it's kind of like a timeshare, but I guess if you love a resort so much, like, I know Kevin and Pete on Two Men and a Mouse both love Caribbean Beach Resort. So if you just love a resort so much, I guess that would make sense. But to me, like, I want to stay at a different resort every time if possible.
What a weird one to love of all the Disney hotels. What an odd one to love. I really like Port Orleans French Quarter a lot. If you were giving me a choice of any Disney resort, I mean, I would pick gosh, I'd probably pick the cabins at Fort Wilderness every time.
Really?
Yeah, I think they're awesome, especially if you have a 4 or 5 person family. I think they're great.
That makes sense. I've never stayed at the cabins, but I know a couple of people who have, and I think actually no, I don't know. Never mind.
I'm just a
You
sucker for a good cabin.
know, and it makes sense, and it kind of makes you feel like you're not in Florida, I guess.
It's true. Like walking to anything when you're in those cabins, I mean, there are armadillos around and hawks flying
That
overhead.
would
It
be so
really does
cool.
not feel like you're in Disney for a few minutes.
Yeah.
But
Besides the heat.
right, besides the heat. All right, what else is in the news?
The next news story is something that I am very sad about. Everyone knows that Wishes is going to be going away forever and replaced by a new show called Happily Ever After. So Wishes is going away May 11, 2017. This has been a rumor for ever. Like, I have heard this rumor since like 2010. I'm not even kidding. And Wishes is just very old. And the talk is that Happily Ever After is going to be heavy on projections, and this is because of the success from the Star Wars Galactic Spectacular.
I'm fine with that. In fact, I was going to say that I have talked to a couple of other people that are also very sad about Wishes going away. I could not tell you the difference between Wishes and was it Sorcery in the Sky before Wishes?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I just couldn't tell you the difference between the two aside from soundtracks. I understand why projections is an added thing, but then it sort of takes away the advantage of any Magic Kingdom fireworks show, which is you can be anywhere in the park and enjoy it.
Yes. Well, and I'm sad that Wishes is going away, but I know Happily Ever After is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm just glad I haven't seen Wishes for the last time. Like, I know I'm going to see it one more time before it goes away.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about how old it is. Jeez, is
Yeah.
it 20 years old at this point?
It's something like that.
Wow. Yeah, that one has been. I remember when they introduced it, but obviously I can't remember the exact date. But yeah, it has hung around for a long, long time. That is for sure.
And I'll tell you why I like Wishes so much. And it's not even the fireworks, it's the soundtrack. Like, the soundtrack just makes me cry every time I listen to it,
I
'cause it's
think
just.
the holiday overlay of that soundtrack is great too.
Which
The
the.
one that was just called Holiday Wishes for
Oh,
the Christmas
okay.
season. We went through a period of time when my daughter was about 4.
Okay.
We have an internet connected TV, and all she wanted to watch was either Phineas and Ferb or Can We YouTube the Christmas Fireworks?
I also like Hollow Wishes. That
Yes,
was a good
I do
one.
too.
So that kind of makes me wonder if they're going to change the fireworks show for Not So Scary and Very Merry.
Oh, I would think that's almost a given. I mean, there's so much you can do projection-wise, especially for Very Merry. I mean, think about turning the castle into a giant present or into a giant Christmas
True.
tree. But yeah, I mean, Hallowishes, I would assume they're gonna, or whatever the new incarnation is gonna be, probably Scarily Ever After.
That's a good one.
yeah. Well, that could be on the
You
marketing
better
team.
copyright
yeah, I think there's so much you could do with projections that obviously that is just around the corner. All right, so we got some rumors this week.
Yeah, we have two rumors. I'm going to talk about the first one, which everyone has probably heard about the Skyway gondola transportation that's going to be between Epcot and Hollywood Studios. But there's also a rumor that it's going to connect Caribbean Beach and Art of Animation. And this
Wait,
is all.
to each other?
Yeah, all three of the, or all four locations are going to be connected. So I'm looking at a map, and it looks like there are going to be like four stops. And then, so it looks like Epcot, Caribbean Beach, and Art of Animation are all connected on like one line. And then in the middle between Caribbean Beach and Art of Animation, there's a line going to Hollywood Studios.
Okay, so I know that this initially was reported by the folks at WDW News Today, which has a
Yes.
reputation of reporting anything that they find on any message board. So they have been right about some stuff, and but they've been wildly wrong about a lot of stuff. I will tell you, going from Epcot to the studios, I think makes a ton of sense. I don't expect it will happen. I'm just saying it's an idea that is not crazy to me.
I agree. But the thing is, I just sent you the link.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, the thing is, like, the Epcot and Hollywood Studios don't even connect at all.
Oh,
Which,
wow, you're right. I'm looking at this now. You're right. Wow.
yeah. And so this makes me think that if this rumor is true, which to me, I really hope that it's not, because I think it would completely ruin, like, sight lines for a lot of
Okay,
stuff.
here's the thing. Now seeing this map, there is no doubt in my mind this is not true. Because the. Okay, first of all, the stations. You cannot have a stop in the middle of the station. You just can't have it. Like, that is a safety hazard. Do you see where they have that one stop that basically you could get off on to go to Hollywood Studios
Yeah.
on the main line? Like, you can't do that without having to stop the entire system for a significant period of time every 5 seconds.
Right.
So I don't yeah, I don't believe that. I think one from Epcot to Hollywood Studios would make a lot of sense. But at the same time, you know, they have those boats that run. I guess you don't really need them.
Yeah.
I don't
See,
know.
that's the
This
thing.
is super, this is just super duper convoluted for me to believe this is real.
Like I said, and I was going on before, I think the sight lines would be completely ruined. Apparently, someone said that you would be able to see backstage of Epcot,
Oh,
which,
they'd never let you do that.
yeah. So, like I said, just a rumor, but I mean, it has been widely popular this past week. Like, I have seen it on every Disney discussion board I'm on, and I have seen it on, they talked about it on my travel agent's website. Like, I'm just like, people, no, there is no way this is gonna happen.
Yeah, and what a. I don't know. I mean, I guess Pop Century and Art of Animation connect, so that kind of makes sense, but what an odd one to start this from.
Well, and that's the thing, too. I'm like, why would you start it at a value resort?
Right.
Like, I don't know.
And I mean, if this map is to be believed, it doesn't even look like there is a station at Caribbean Beach. It's just a turn right there. And yeah, I
It's
don't.
on the edge of Caribbean Beach, it looks like.
Okay, so here's the other thing too, that another reason that I think this is nuts is there would not really be a way to do this without flying right over the top of Caribbean Beach. And if I'm staying there, I want my rates reduced for having so many people flying over our room all the time.
I agree.
Yeah, this is I'm trying to think of a way I can say it without cussing. Nonsense.
Nonsense, that's a good word.
Pardon my French. Yeah, I had not thought about that until you said it, that yeah, there's no way to do this without seeing backstage in Epcot. And A, they don't want you to be able to do that. B, all right, now I'm seeing where it would go over backstage. The other problem with this is if Epcot really is getting a new nighttime spectacular, this transportation line is going right over where it's rumored that they're going to be flying drones in from. The FAA will not let Disney do that.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. All
No.
right. So we agree. Nonsense.
Yes. Dumb. Stupid.
All right, what's your other rumor?
My other rumor is that the Disney has developed a room with it's quoted ubiquitous wireless charging. So basically it's a room, and when you enter it, your phone pretty much just automatically starts charging, and this room will allow multiple devices to be charged while in the room. Now, they haven't like released this in any Disney park or any Disney resort, but they have developed it, so possibly it could be rolling out soonish.
It's interesting. I saw the video of what the battery system or station or whatever it is going to look like. I kind of wonder, is this going to be for rooms, or would they first use it for, and we were talking about flying in drones, would they first use it for something like that?
Ooh, yeah.
Because, one of the problems right now, like that show you said you saw with your friends in Disney Springs, was that by the time they fly the drones to the show area, they only have 2 to 3 minutes of show time before those drones cannot fly out.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that's what it's being developed for as opposed to a room. Or, I mean, very simply, think of how much you could charge for that room.
And yes. Yeah, that's another thing too. Like, this could be one of the cabanas or something.
Oh man, I had not thought about it. Now the cabanas were met pretty much with a thud, right? Like to the point that
Yes.
they are
They're not,
shelved.
yeah, they're not there anymore.
But man, I mean, like to add this as a premium option at every resort,
Yeah.
I could see that happening for sure.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So I'm gonna give you a rumor
Okay.
that I have heard, and tell me if you have heard this as well. Those height test balloons that were seen at the Fantasia Gardens golf course, a new premium resort there that would give you sight lines into the new Toy Story Land.
I have not heard that. So, like, they would tear down Fantasia Gardens and build a resort there?
Right.
Huh.
It might be deep, like full on DVC. It might just be a very expensive resort to stay at, but the fact of, or the way that I have heard it told is the only thing standing in the way is because the Swan is not operated by Disney, is there a contract they have to abide by before they can just break ground on this?
That's what I was wondering, because it's right across the street from the Swan and Dolphin.
Right.
I don't know. I would hate for them to get rid of the mini golf course, though. I know Disney is not for mini golfing, but I just love going putt-putting.
Well, I think that Winter Summerland is probably the more popular of the two, would be my guess, because you can
It's
attach that.
easier to get there.
Absolutely. You could attach that to a day. Well, yeah, easier to get there because there's a bus to it, right? Rather than have to
Yeah.
figure out how you're going to get there by car.
Yes.
And I don't know if that's the best use of that land.
It's probably not. But, like, I didn't think it. I don't know. I feel like that would be a very small resort.
It would. I actually had that thought too, of not only is it a small resort, is there even parking
Yeah. There is parking, I think.
there? But would there be a parking enough parking for a resort?
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
I mean, you talk about, Disney with these resorts that having a certain aesthetic. You wouldn't have to just build a resort. That is such a small space. You'd have to build a parking garage too.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like that wouldn't happen, but I've been wrong before.
Yeah, if it's supposed to coincide with Toy Story Land, they're saying they'll have that done in 2 years. I would imagine this resort is probably another 2 years out after that, if it happens at all.
Yeah.
All right, well, Kat, as always, thank you for the news and rumors.
No problem. Bye.
All right, it's unfortunately, as we let Kat go, up next we talk about musicals, which I know, Kat, you are a junkie for.
Darn it! everyone, it's Kat. We all know planning a Walt Disney World vacation takes a lot of time and effort. You gotta choose a resort, book dining, and choose fast passes. Well, I want to take the stress out of your vacation. Book your vacation with me through Magical Travel, and your trip planning will become as easy as pie. I'll take care of all the fine details for you at no additional cost. What's great about it is that you won't have to wake up early to get those hard-to-book reservations like Be Our Guest or Cinderella's Royal Table. I'll do my best to make your vacation the most fun and relaxing it can be. Even better, when you book a trip with me, I'll throw in a Disney gift card for you. Email me for a free quote at katarina@magicaltravel.com. That's katarina at magicaltravel.com. P.S. I also do all other Disney affiliates, so if you want to venture outside of the world, I will be able to help you there too. So what are you waiting for? Let's make your next trip magical.
Hey folks, Kevin Kessler from the White Dragon Podcast Network here. And one of the questions I get asked all the time is, Kevin, I want to have a podcast, but I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know anything about audio equipment. I don't know anything about editing. I don't know anything about how to post and promote a podcast. Well, folks, you are in luck, because what if I told you there is a way you can have your podcast with minimal effort from you and still be a part of the White Dragon Podcast Network, joining the family of 9 all-star podcasts that are already broadcasting 7 days a week here on WDPN. For a free consultation, please send an email to kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com, and I will tell you personally how we can take care of everything from the production to the editing to the posting to the server space to promotion of your podcast. I want to welcome you into the White Dragon Podcast Network family, so please drop me a line, kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com. I look forward to welcoming you into the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Hey, sis.
Hey.
How are you?
Great.
Okay, we're recording.
Oh, why don't you start off the regular way?
Well, because I've already recorded the news with Kat.
Oh. Okay.
So, hey.
Hey.
Okay. So we're going to talk about musicals.
Great.
Because I like to dance, I like to sing, it's just how I do stuff.
I know.
So you were telling me that earlier, what was it, last week you went to see the movie theater release of Newsies?
Yeah, it was on Thursday.
And it's something that's been going on for, I guess, a week, like select dates throughout the last week or so, that they've been showing, not the old movie, but a filmed version of the musical in theaters everywhere. And it got me thinking about the way shows and musicals are done in the park and what is there now, what is missing. I guess basically sort of the genesis of this is that that Newsies was such a big hit. I'm kind of surprised there was never some version of it somewhere in the park.
But I don't think it was as big of a hit as you think. I mean, the movie itself didn't do well. And then I think the Broadway musical did well for Broadway, but I don't think bringing it to the park, just a regular passerby would know what it is.
Well, certainly you wouldn't bring any musical, Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid, any of them, you wouldn't bring them to the park in their full Broadway form, because you're not going to get someone to sit still for, I don't know, like, what's a Broadway showtime? Probably about 3 hours when you consider intermission as well?
It's about 2.5, I guess.
Okay, so, but still, that's a long time to ask someone to sit still, but it surprises me that you never saw something like a number or maybe a slimmed down version of the show that was only 2 or 3 musical numbers done, like, say, on the stage in front of the Chinese Theater.
I could see if they were to bring Newsies to the park to see it be like one of the street performances.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, you say that it might have been a big hit by Broadway standards, but wasn't a big hit. I mean, it was the kind of thing that even people that didn't follow Broadway knew was a big hit.
Yeah.
Because I know you looked at it a couple times, didn't it? It was sold out for years on Broadway.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I don't understand why they closed the show this, I mean, it's only been running for, what, 4 or 5 years? And I'm surprised that they have already closed the show for good, because then you look at, like, The Lion King and Beauty and the Beast, which has been going on for a long, long time, and, you know, Newsies was sold out every single night.
Yeah, but I think that's probably, that's probably, you get the chance to bring it back in a big way in a few years, because it's, you know, it's shut down for now, but it doesn't mean that they're never bringing it back.
Yeah, I hope they do, because I never got to see it.
So let's talk a little bit about Disney and musicals and what is in the park right now, because these shows do have their own, at least internally, they do sort of do their own version of the Tonys, where cast members are asked what is the best performance in the park for the year and stuff like that, and they get performers that are of Broadway caliber to come in for at least a short run. And there's some people that you go, there's some cast members you go, and I can remember seeing them for years and years. The, I don't know a nicer way to describe her other than this, but the heavier set woman in the Festival of the Lion King, I think I've seen her in that show for at least 5 years now.
You know who else was a Disney stage performer too?
Who was that?
Joey Fatone and AJ McLean.
No way.
Yes way.
Dang, that's all the best talent comes from there.
And now Joey has his own hot dog stand. I mean, they just don't play.
What was Joey Fatone in?
I don't remember. I just know that's what he was doing stage shows at Disney for a long time.
I would like to find out that he was like one of the rollerbladers in Tarzan Rocks.
Actually, you know what? I think he was in Tarzan Rock.
Yeah, he was.
Say that. I don't know. I'm going to Google.
So, what is your favorite musical or live performance show in the parks right now?
Probably Festival of the Lion King, I would guess. I mean, to be fair, I haven't really seen a lot of the live shows lately.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there are that many options. You know, like, I'm not going to go see... I mean, I wouldn't mind going to see Beauty and the Beast again, but I'm not really going to waste my time to do it. It's been there forever, and I think it's a little dated.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm really only basing my judgment off of what I saw last, which was Festival of the Lion King, which is the only live show I've seen in the parks probably over the last maybe 10 years.
No, that's not true. You've seen Nemo, right?
I've seen it one time, and I can't even really remember it.
So I'm just trying to think, like, off the top of my head, what is in the parks that is a you-wait-in-line, a sit-down live performance kind of thing? In Hollywood Studios, there's Beauty and the Beast, there's Voyage of a Little Mermaid, there's, what is it called now, Disney Junior Live on Stage, and the Frozen musical, which is bad, like, which is bad. I mean, it's probably the worst stage thing they put on.
Well, that, and I don't even think Disney Junior would be considered like an actual stage show. I think it's good for little kids, but I mean, who's actually going to go on their own and sit down and watch it?
Well, I mean, I think you could probably say the same thing about Voyage of the Little Mermaid, right?
Yeah, I don't consider that a stage show either, though.
Wow, I mean, what is it if it's not a stage show?
It's a show on a stage.
Dang. You know, it's a subtle difference, but I get it now. I mean, is there anything in Magic Kingdom? I'm talking about something you've got to wait in line for to then get a spot in.
Philhar Magic, would that be one?
No, that's a movie.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Country Bears.
Well, I mean, that's true. did you have what over in Animal Kingdom? You have Festival of the Lion King and Nemo. And do you have anything in Epcot? I don't think you do.
Unless there's stuff at the World Showcase, which I don't.
Right. Yeah. And unless something's performing in the theater. So yeah, I mean, you're right. There's not a ton. I guess you could count. I guess you could count Golden Horseshoe when it's open seasonally. And I guess technically the same thing with the, what is it called? The comedy, the Laugh Factory, or what was the name of the show in Pleasure Island that's now come over just for Christmas to the studios?
I have no idea.
Okay, cool.
What about Hoop-Dee-Doo? Would you consider that?
Yeah, I probably would. I mean, the dinner shows are definitely musical or definitely live performance kind of things, right?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. To me, I think they're different because it's like a dinner thing. I don't really consider it. I mean, I know it's a live show, but I don't know. I put it in a different category personally.
It is. Those are the kind of things, like you say, you don't like to sit down for the live performances. The dinner shows are, I don't know. There's just nothing about them that interests me, really.
Yeah, I mean, people keep telling me how great Hoop-Dee-Doo is, but I, unless somebody else books a reservation there or really shows interest in wanting to go, I will probably never see it.
What, which one, and I'm talking about any of these live performances we've named, which one is, like, painfully dated and needs to go?
Probably, I mean, I guess the Little Mermaid.
That would be my guess, too. Because even,
I mean, it's so dated at this point that I find entertainment out of it, you know, like I think it's funny to go see it because it is so 80s, but I mean, it is very, it needs to be updated. I think Beauty and the Beast needs to be updated.
There was a period of time where it was like a foregone conclusion that a Tangled show was going to replace Beauty and the Beast any day now. And I mean, that just keeps getting pushed off and pushed off. And now I don't even think it's anywhere on Disney's like to-do list, anywhere on the horizon for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's not surprising, honestly.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, but you know, the going back to The Little Mermaid, that one kind of is surprising just because of everything that is going on renovation-wise on that side of the park. You would think it'd be easy to slip a new show in there.
It would, but to put a new show in there, unless, again, it's like a dance party or just a movie, it's not going to happen. They're not going to put in the money or the effort or the time to do so.
See, I think they are going to run up against a problem when Toy Story Land opens, and if, you know, if you believe that latest press release, in 2 years when Toy Story Land opens, they are going to have a painfully dated side of the park that is the entrance to Toy Story Land.
Yeah, I mean, I think when it opens, for sure, but right now, they don't have to worry about it because people are still going. And even if people weren't still going, they're not putting money into that right now. They're going to focus their time on Toy Story and Star Wars. And yeah, I mean, we've talked about it before. To me, right now, when it comes to attractions that are already there, Disney's just gotten lazy. They're not going to do anything about it.
I mean, that's definitely true. I guess I'm surprised by, I mean, even if you put something Star Wars related there, it just seems like there is an arrogance to Disney at this point when it comes to the studios of they are actively not doing anything.
Yeah, and even if they were to put something in there, and this is how I kind of felt about Launch Bay coming in, I mean, there's nothing to it, you know? I mean, again, it's like, it's just going to be something kind of lazy. And I get, you know, with Launch Bay, the idea was great, but honestly, what's there aside from two meet and greets? Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I think the meet and greets, though, are two of the best in the park.
They are. There's only so much you can do with that.
No, I agree. I agree. And, you know, Kat just talked about in the news segment that they're going to introduce a third meet and greet with BB-8 in April. But, you know, the thing about Launch Bay, that Little Mermaid actually has not suffered from at all, because a musical is a timeless version of entertainment. But, you know, Launch Bay now suffered from the fact that they shut down Disney Infinity, and the whole back half of that building was dedicated to Disney Infinity.
Yeah. I'll be surprised if they actually do something with the back half of that building, because I have a feeling it's just going to stay empty for a long time.
I have a feeling that's probably where they're going to put the BB-8 meet and greet.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, I mean, because they're not going to get rid of Kylo Ren. They're not going to get rid of Chewbacca.
Yeah.
That would be my guess.
I don't understand why they won't bring back Darth Vader either.
All I can figure is that Darth Vader is the only, I mean, aside from Chewbacca, which is everybody's favorite meet and greet, Darth Vader is the only character that is high enough profile that could be something special for Disney Visa card holders.
But remember when we asked, when we were down there for the Disney Visa card, it was the same person was in the Disney Visa card meet and greet as the regular meet and greet that we were at, too.
It was Darth Vader at the time.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't under, like, why all of a sudden now is it so important to have a special character for Disney Visa card holders? Because every other character stop for Disney Visa card people, they're just the same characters over. Like, it's never been anything special before.
I don't think it necessarily is important that they have a someone special just for Disney Visa card holders. I think it is important because it allows them to get one more character in the park in Kylo Ren.
Okay, fine.
Okay, geez. All right, let's get back to musicals because okay. That's what I'm here to talk about. And Thea has a Chewbacca squeaky toy, by the way, that she's played with on the other side of this. are there any of the live stage shows that you miss?
I mean, obviously Tarzan Rocks.
Of course.
Doug Live.
Yeah.
The Country Bear Vacation Hoedown.
Okay, what is this?
The Country Bear, you don't remember that?
No.
It was like, I think it ended mid-90s. I don't remember exactly the whole plot of it. I just remember there was a different Country Bear stage show.
Okay, so it was in the Country Bear Jamboree?
I don't remember. I don't remember the where it was. I just know it went from, like, I want to say probably the year I was born to 95, 96. And that's when they had, like, the whole merch stand dedicated just to the Country Bears, because there was more than just one Country Bear show.
I swear to God, I do not remember this at all.
You have to Google it. So I remember it being, like, you know, it was the original Country Bears, but they had all taken a vacation to, like, Miami or something. It was some, like, beachy spot. And I remember them being in Hawaiian print shirts.
I mean, that doesn't sound implausible or unreasonable.
Now, why it didn't last, I don't know. But yeah, it was called the Century Vacation Hoedown.
So this is probably, you will not remember it because you were very young when it was there, but was the first Muppet show ever in MGM called Here Comes the Muppets?
I don't remember. The only Muppet show I ever remember being there was Muppets 3D.
It was a live stage show, and everybody was in, you know, they were characters. They were people dressed up like the characters. So things just looked off with these characters. But there was a gigantic walk around Bean Bunny. So some of the characters were walk around, and some were puppets.
Yeah,
which made it very weird in terms of the perspective. But I remember just being so excited for that show.
Where was this?
This was where Muppet Vision 3D is right now. I don't know if they redid the theater or what, but I absolutely remember this.
I don't remember that at all. I remember there being a Hunchback in Notre Dame show.
Right, in the same space where the Frozen show is now, right?
Yeah.
There was a period of time where Disney was using that space for something based on whatever movie was out at the time, right?
Yeah, that's also where Tarzan Rocks was, too.
No, Tarzan Rocks was in Animal Kingdom.
I thought Tarzan Rocks was in MGM.
I'm positive Tarzan Rocks was in Animal Kingdom.
And what other shows were at that theater?
Isn't that where the very brief Ninja Turtle show was?
Oh, yeah. Didn't they do a... shoot, I lost what I was going to say. Never mind.
Okay, cool. Doug Live, so let's circle back on Doug Live for a second. Because I know you were a big fan.
Yeah, I love Doug Live.
I mean, the highlight was certainly when the Beats come out on stage.
Didn't you get to be a member of the Beats?
No, you're thinking of the precursor to Doug Live, which was Superstar Television, where I got to be Al from Home Improvement.
Oh, I thought you got to... Didn't you also get to be the millionaire?
Yes, sis. I had a pretty good run with Superstar Television.
I know, I always wanted to be on that, and you always got picked.
I mean, what am I going to tell you, sis? I have a face that producers look at and go, we can make a star out of that kid.
Like he got to be Al from Home Improvement. I don't remember that one.
I remember, I distinctly remember getting to be Al, because Al is the big, Home Improvement was the big payoff of that show.
I mean, it still would be, in my opinion.
I'm going to say something that'll make everybody jealous. I don't ever remember experiencing Superstar Television from the theater. I was always in the show.
The only thing I ever got to be a part of was the backlot tour.
I think now, if they were still doing Superstar Television, fingers crossed, I would get to be one of Blanche or Rose's dates.
Were they a part of Superstar Television?
Oh, yes. They were a part of Superstar Television.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the show, but I don't remember everything that was a part of the show.
So not Superstar Television, but the Golden Girls were a big part of MGM Studios when it first opened.
Yeah, I remember seeing their house at the backlot tour.
Yeah, the house in Superstar Television, that's about it.
Was that it?
I think so.
Big part,
I mean,
sure.
But let me ask you this, sis. How many other shows got multiple spots in MGM Studios when it opened?
Dang, that's true.
All right, that's what I thought. All right, so let's talk real quick before we wrap this up about Disney musicals that are on Broadway right now. Disney has obviously found a good little business for themselves on Broadway. Is there anything you'd like to see them bring into the park just as a scaled-down version?
I would like to see a better Aladdin stage show.
Yeah, we saw the one out in California Adventure, which I think is gone now.
Yeah, it's gone. I mean, I enjoyed, but I think it could have been it was definitely a park show. It was very cheesy.
Yeah.
And I don't think Disney needs to be cheesy anymore. I think they can bring in like quality stuff and still have a quality stuff and bring it down and still have a good audience. I think you have to bring the theme park factor of cheesiness into their shows anymore.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that you could probably do even like on the Disney Cruise Lines, I think this show is called Disney Wishes, I think, where they do a series of like the musical is just a series of scenes from Disney shows. I feel like you could do a version of that at a theater in Hollywood Studios, specifically for the Broadway stuff.
Yeah, I think you could too, because I don't think a lot of these stage shows are getting as much love as Disney wants, because one, they don't ever replace them or update them, and two, I think people are expecting better quality from Disney now,
Yeah, and, let's be fair to Disney here. They're kind of at a rock and a hard place because, I mean, how much does a ticket on Broadway go for? Like $200, $220, something like that?
I'm not even sure, honestly.
All right, so, but it's in the multiple hundreds of dollars for a show that is a major attraction on Broadway. If they were to do something like this in the park that you got to see for free with a $100 admission ticket, I could understand why the people that work on the financial side of Disney would not want something to cheapen their more expensive product.
Well, I would agree with that if tickets were $100. Tickets to get into the park are constantly being raised. I mean, we just saw a couple weeks ago, they just raised the price of tickets again, and they have literally made it so unaffordable to get into the park at this point that, I don't think they're cheapening anything at the park.
I mean, in a lot of cases, you're right. But whatever it is now, $110 to get into the park versus $220 for Broadway. I mean, that is cheapening a Broadway product.
But you're not bringing the whole Broadway. You'd be bringing maybe a 20-minute segment of that show.
I mean, honestly, I think you'd probably be bringing less than that, right? You'd probably be bringing like a 5 to 6 minute segment of that show.
Yeah. So to me, I mean, all it would be doing would be it would be like a preview for a movie, basically.
Yeah.
Well, it would be showing people that you can go see this whole thing. I think it would just be helping them wanting to do, getting people to experience the actual Broadway show.
Yeah, I'm surprised Disney doesn't look at stuff more like that. Of if we put a slice of this experience in the park, it could pay off for the main experience down the road.
Yeah,
but Disney doesn't seem to think like that on a lot of different things. Okay, last thing I wanted to ask you about, because when we did the Disney Cruise to Alaska, one of these shows in the theater, was a Toy Story musical that is as bad of a stage show as I've ever seen Disney put on anywhere. I mean, it was like our high school theater guild level of performance. So, but that being said, Toy Story is not a musical, right? The movie is not a musical. Finding Nemo is not a musical, but Disney found a way to do a musical version of it in the park. Is there something sort of off the board that you would like to see Disney bring as a live performance into the park? I mean, this also relates to Newsies, right? Like, Newsies, you mentioned, like, the movie was a flop. The yeah. fact that they would turn it into a musical is surprising based on the way Disney operates.
Yeah, I mean, there are certain movies that I would like to see as a musical, but I don't think they'd be that surprising. The Princess and the Frog, I think, would be a great musical. I would like to see a better production of The Hunchback of Notre Dame, because I think that would be a really great musical. The three that are kind of, that I have that are like, eh, I don't know, would be Alice in Wonderland, Hercules, and I think Oliver and Company would be a fun one to see too.
So I'm going to give you a few that are not musicals that I think would be a lot of fun. I think given that Interventions is essentially a wasteland now, you could clear that out and turn that into a theater. And I'm going to throw this out there, Flight of the Navigator, the musical.
I'd have to see it before. I wouldn't be interested until I was dragged to see it.
Okay, but think about this. Instead of writing original songs for it, what if the soundtrack was like 80s pop and rock?
I mean, I'd probably go.
I mean, very similar to, what was it, Rock of Ages.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a lot of fun.
I have to see previews for it before I could make up my mind if I would go.
Okay, all right. Let's see. The only other one... that I can think of, and I think this would be a huge hit, although a lot of people are going to kind of turn their nose up at this.
Blank Check?
Absolutely. I was thinking more First Kid, but Blank Check seems pretty obvious that that'd be a great one. No, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see it as a musical, but then again, I couldn't see Nemo as a musical either, so...
Right, I mean, you only need, like, you've got Yo-Ho, A Pirate's Life for me, right? You only really need maybe four more songs.
Yeah.
And you could do something the length of Nemo. Nemo's, what, like 45 minutes long?
Yeah. I mean, if you do Pirates of the Caribbean, then I could see Haunted Mansion being one, too, which would be very Phantom of the Opera-ish.
No, I think Haunted Mansion, because that ride has such a musical element, and it's never really been turned into a movie in a successful way, I can't really see them doing that.
I mean, I couldn't really see them doing Pirates of the Caribbean musical either. I'm talking hypothetically.
The only reason I'm saying I could is because at this point, and especially with a new movie coming out this year, I think they're back in this mode for Magic Kingdom especially, of where, what all can we stuff this into?
Yeah. I'm sure Johnny Depp would sign up to do it too. Now that he wants to be like a rock star as well.
Like maybe for a week each month he comes down. But he's so quirky, he would probably have something in his contract like he'll do it, but he's not going to play Jack Sparrow.
Right.
I'll only do it if I could play Elizabeth Swann.
I was going to say the monkey.
Hello, I'm Storybook Julius, the White Dragon Podcast Network's resident Canadian and the host of Storybook Radio, a Walt Disney World and Universal Studios podcast appearing every Wednesday here on WDPN. Walt Disney was a storyteller, and well, so am I. Now, I'm not saying that I'm as cool as Walt Disney or anything, but I'm saying that if you're looking for a unique take on the Walt Disney World and Universal Studios theme parks, with immersive looks at their stories, backstories, and histories, you've come to the right place. Head on over to iTunes, Stitcher, or Podomatic to subscribe to and download the Storybook Radio podcast each and every Wednesday. You can also check out www.storybookradio.com for more details and more content.
The Extra Magic Hour's just about over.
Aww.
But first, it's time for the glorious 3-hour finale.
Well, sis, that just about ends our time together this week. Oh, squeaky Chewbacca. You're the greatest. So I'm going down to Disney tomorrow, actually. So next week we'll do a chat and review of The Princess Half. And also, I think for our anniversary, Sally and I are going to eat at Victoria and Albert's.
Ooh.
Voulez-vous. Yeah, voulez-vous indeed. Well, see you later, everybody.
Bye.